Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. This is the Ash'ar of Arif Billah Hazrat Aqdas Hazrat Mu'ayna Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Nawar Allahu Marqadahu. The title is Jalsa-e Qurb-e Mahabbat. Mahabbat mein kabhi aisa zamana bhi guzarta hai زبا خاموش رہتی ہے مگر دل روتا رہتا ہے محبت میں کبھی ایسا زمانہ بھی گزرتا ہے زبا خاموش رہتی ہے مگر دل روتا رہتا ہے اگرچہ راہ تقویٰ میں ہزاروں غم بھی آتے ہیں اگرچہ راہ تقویٰ میں ہزاروں غم بھی آتے ہیں مگر جو عاشق صادق ہے غم کو سہتا رہتا ہے مگر جو عاشق صادق ہے غم کو سہتا رہتا ہے صلہ عشق مجازی کا یہ کیسا ہے ارے توبہ صلہ عشق مجازی کا یہ کیسا ہے ارے توبہ کہ عاشق روتے رہتے ہیں صنم خود سوتا رہتا ہے کہ عاشق روتے رہتے ہیں صنم خود سوتا رہتا ہے خطاؤں کی اگر آئی ہے دامن پر ذرا سیاہی خطاؤں کی اگر آئی ہے دامن پر ذرا سیاہی تو اپنے آنسوں سے عشق اس کو دھوتا رہتا ہے تو اپنے آنسوں سے عشق اس کو دھوتا رہتا ہے گنہگاروں کی مدد حقیر کر اے زاہد ناجان گنہگاروں کی مدد حقیر کر اے زاہد ناجان کہ ان کی آہ زاری پر فلک بھی روتا رہتا ہے کہ ان کی آہ زاری پر فلک بھی روتا رہتا ہے بخیز مرشد کامل جو درد دل ہوا حاصل بخیز مرشد کامل جو درد دل ہوا حاصل تو دل پر جلسہ قرب محبت ہوتا رہتا ہے تو دل پر جلسہ قرب محبت ہوتا رہتا ہے جو غیروں پر فدا کرتا ہے اپنے قلب و جاہ تر
جو غیروں پر فدا کرتا ہی اپنے قلب و جاختن، جرم بے وفائی حق سے وہ محروم رہتا ہے، جرم بے وفائی حق سے وہ محروم رہتا ہے، محبت میں کبھی ایسا زمانہ بھی گزرتا ہے، زباں خاموش رہتی ہے مگر دل روتا رہتا ہے.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. This is the اشعار of حضرت مولانا حکیم محمد اختر صاحب نور اللہ منقدہ. حضرت مولانا was a عاشق of اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی. So in this couplet, Hazrat was explaining the relationship of a true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll try to explain few of the meanings of the couplets. Inshallah, Allah ta'ala put the right translation on our tongue and we'll try our best, inshallah. Maulana is talking, he mentions that this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes these moments pass when you're in this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where the lips don't mention anything, the lips is quiet, but a direct connection from the heart is made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where you can be sitting in a gathering and there's a buzzing happening in the gathering, but your heart is connected on your lover, as to say, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learn from the Khanqa also, sometimes this is one of the best ways to make dua, where you don't even lift up your hands, but directly you put your knees in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, zaban khamosh rehti hai, that the lips are quiet, but magar dil rota rehta hai. The heart is crying out of the pain of joy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and sometimes out of that need and that fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and out of love of that, in that fear, person is crying and talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Mawlana mentions, in this line of taqwa, you are going to go through some things where you have to break your desires, where you're going to go what they call gham, that you want to do something, but you have to pull back. You have, your heart is going to tear out of the fulfillment of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what happens is, you're going to have not one and two moments, you're going to have thousands of those moments. But what happens to a true lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in these moments, he's still happy. He realizes that this is the command of my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to look at that woman, but my Allah says I have to close my eyes. I will look down. I want to do this wrong, but my Allah's command is I can't do it. Oh Allah, for you I won't do it. The heart wants to do it. A fight happening. The heart is saying no, do it. The nafs is saying do it. The heart is saying, but my Allah is going to get upset with me. And the person suppresses his nafs. And Tumana is saying that you're going to have thousands of these thoughts coming. Thousands of these battles between with nafs and shaitan and yourself and fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says that when you go through these difficulties, as if to say difficulties, then you'll realize this is my command, it's the command of my Allah. I can't do it. And the person does it happily, so as to say with a smile on his lips. The mana is saying that this is the one love where outwardly your heart is crying, but you're happy to do it. And you have this fake love, what we'll call ishke majazi, that the lover is crying for the beloved. Whatever is the story between the lover and the beloved, and he is crying for the fake beloved of his. And the other person, she, in our sense, let's say he and she is fast asleep. He is crying, he can't sleep, he is worried about what he done today, that he never fulfilled her needs, or he never made her happy, or something he done out of line. He is sacrificing his sleep. And on the other hand, she's fast asleep, she's not even worried about his tears. So one is this love, and one is where Allah Ta'ala's gaze of mercy and rahmah is on you. Then Mu'ana is also explaining that
sometimes in this relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we are insan, we are going to make mistakes. So he says that when you make mistakes, then put your head, as if to say, in the threshold of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah ta'ala for forgiveness. We have mentioned the hadith time and time again, كُلُّن بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّوْنَ, that every servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a sinner. And وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ, the best of sinners are those who turn in repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another hadith it comes, أَتَّائِبُ مِنَ الزَّمْبِ كَمَنْ لَا زَمْبَ, that person who makes a mistake, then when he asks for forgiveness, then Allah Ta'ala not only forgives him, Allah Ta'ala removes all the records. Once they say, press delete on that file and everything is removed from him. Another couplet where the ulama explain that in this line of suluk, what we call walking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hum is tarah teh karte hai manzile, gir kar ute, ut kar chale, that sometimes when you're traversing towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what happens is you are going to make a mistake. But when you make a mistake, then you don't stay down. They say like a bird on the seashore. When one wave comes and knocks that bird down, then that bird doesn't stay down. That bird stands up again. And another wave will come and knock it down. And again it will stand up. And this will happen a few times. And then afterwards the bird will be able to fly away. So with us also, what happens is shaitan and nafs is going to make you make sin. But every time you make sin, turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, your stages will be raised in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Mawlana explains that when you make a mistake, to apne aasoon se ishq, with your tears, then turn in repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and let the tears come out from your eyes and say, oh Allah, I made a mistake. Oh Allah, I'm human being. Oh Allah, I erred, oh Allah. But oh Allah, you are ghafoor, you are rahim. Oh Allah, you forgive me. Ulama also explained that our attitude shouldn't be this, where you make a sin and say, no, Allah is very ghafoor rahim, Allah will forgive me. They say also that tawbah is like the remedy. We learn from the Khanka that tawbah is like a remedy, an ointment, where if you burn, then you put that ointment on. Now nobody in his right mind will put his hand in a fire and say, no, I'll buy that ointment and it will sort out my burn. If by chance you get burned, then you use that ointment. So saying, when you by chance fall into a mistake and you make a sin, then you use the ointment of tawbah and turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't make the sin and say, no, Allah will forgive me. Then Mawlana is also mentioning that sometimes we might not make the mistake. You see somebody else making a mistake. Then at that time also don't look down at that person making a sin. This is also what we'll call ujab. It's also a sin. One is pride to think yourself better than others. And ujab is another type of evilness of the heart where you don't think bad of the person but you think, no, I'm better than the people. So here Mawlana is saying that when you see somebody doing something wrong, then you at that moment also don't think good of yourself. One is that Allah Ta'ala can make you fall into that sin. We learn from the teachings of the hadith, if a person makes a sin and sincerely turns in tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah Ta'ala forgives him, you make fun of that person or you mock the person or you look down at that person, Allah Ta'ala will make it such that before you pass away, you also get involved in that sin. So one is don't look down on them or that I am better than you. And then Mawlana is explaining that if you see somebody making a sin, then he explains that we'll take the line that no, I'll make tawbah. I made a sin, I'll make tawbah. So Mawlana is saying that what if that person does the same thing? That he made a mistake, shaitan got the better of him, nafs got the better of him, he fell into temptation. But what if he wipes out his sins with the tears of forgiveness and crying to Allah Ta'ala in forgiveness? And now you mocking at him. You don't know that sometimes a person can make a sin, but he turns in repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much, as if to say the angels in the sky are looking at him out of what we will say, envy, that look how this person is crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how humble this person is in front of Allah ta'ala, how much inkisari, how much lowliness this person is putting himself in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how much mercy Allah ta'ala is sending upon him. So Mahana is saying that don't look down on somebody because you don't know what his condition, what is Allah. And the Mahana is explaining that how do you reach this close connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do you gain this close connection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He says that by being in the company of the pious. Have a spiritual guide that will correct everything of yours. Every decision you make, you hand it over to them. And whatever prescription they give you, you follow on it. And this is the work of, or this is what is a hanga. That it was mentioned to us in the initial days, that you don't stress over anything. Whatever is giving you stress, you pass it on to your spiritual guide. And whatever he tells you, even if outwardly it doesn't look like it's making sense to your mind, that no, what he said is not, try it first. Adopt his method first. If you try it and then it doesn't, then you go back. You say, you know what? I tried what you said. I followed your guidance. But Hazrat, this never worked out. Not before they give you the prescription. Already you got the answers. If you tell me this, I'm going to say this. If I'm guided this way here, I'm going to say this. So when you have a true spiritual guide, and here Hazrat has been mentioning for the past few weeks also, look at where we're taking our ilm. Look at who our spiritual guide is. And the easiest way to know who's a good spiritual guide, look at that person's life in line with Quran, Ahadith, Quran and Sunnah. And the closer that person is to Sunnah, the more you'll be able to benefit from that person. So when you have a Murshid al-Sadiq, a true spiritual guide, then through his du'as, through his silent moments with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your life becomes easy. They say the smallest gift of joining the hunger is you might not be tahajjud guzar. But that person in the early hours of the night is crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everyone. And you'll be part of that dua. That is the smallest gift of just joining or attaching yourself to a mursid as-sadiq. So Mahana is saying that you get this jalsa, this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you are aligned to a proper spiritual guide, and when you put yourself right down in front of him, you forget all your degrees, you forget all your thoughts, all your qualifications, and whatever I'm guided, that is what I'm going to follow. And then lastly, Mu'ana is giving us a lesson, and he's saying that those people who give their heart and their souls to the wrong love, to this, what we'll say, ishq-e majazi that we talked about, and to somebody who's in this world, which is not everlasting. Somebody who gives their life up for something that is not everlasting, meaning that they did not give their life up for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their desires is for this world and for the benefit of this world, for the beauties of this world, and not for the akhirah. Then Mu'ana is saying that what they get lost of is getting true love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their true love, their true relationship, that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you joined your heart with something besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala won't come to you. Where it's mentioned in the teachings of the Kutub that Allah ta'ala, as long as your heart is open, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter that heart. But the minute something else is there, Allah Ta'ala won't come in. Where for us to understand, you have an empty glass. Somebody will be able to put zamzam inside there. Somebody will be able to put water inside there. Somebody will be able to put any drink inside there. But just take that glass and just put it near the toilet. Just near the toilet, not even with the najasa. Who will pick up that glass to drink water? Nobody will say, no, this glass was near the toilet, I can't. So if the najasa of this world is in the heart, then how can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come into our heart? So Allah ta'ala grant us His true love. Allah ta'ala grant us the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the love of the pious. And inshallah, through the barakah of His love, the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the love of the pious, we'll be able to experience these close moments with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala make the reality for me and everybody else.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil karim. Amma ba'd. Regarding sadaqah, charity in the path of Allah Ta'ala, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu narrated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every joint in the human body is liable for one act of charity daily. Justice meted out between two persons is sadaqah. Assisting someone to mount a vehicle or helping in loading his luggage are also acts of sadaqah. A good word which benefits others is also sadaqah. Removing a harmful object, example a thorn, a peel, etc. from the road is also sadaqah. Explaining the above hadith, another hadith in Muslim Sharif states that in the human body there are 360 joints. Whoever renders this number of good deeds daily has saved himself from Jahannam. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if noble form of sadaqah is to lend a camel or any other animal to a person who will obtain the benefit of its milk in the morning and evening, that is, after having milked the animal in the morning and the evening, it is returned to its owner. So you don't even give somebody, but you loan him something by which he can take benefit. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu narrated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is an act of sadaqah for a Muslim to plant a tree or sow the land from which people, birds and animals derive benefit. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu narrated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whatever is stolen from the farm is also sadaqah for the owner. Note, although the owner did not sow the land for this purpose, nor does he regard theft of his goods as a benefit for him, nevertheless, it is recorded as sadaqah for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal.